Hey ladies, welcome back to the show. On today's episode, we are going to talk about something that if you listen to any of these podcasts or if you're in a world where you like to listen to things about biohacking and increasing your longevity, something that you may have heard about is zone two exercise. In the pursuit of fitness, many of us have or had in the past have gotten into these workouts that are really high intensity, that are highly aerobic, that tends to be for a pretty long period of time, where we push ourselves and we beat ourselves up with these workouts that can be really tough on our body. However, as we start to age and we start to think about what our body is able to do and what it's not able to do, I think it starts to go back into this idea of like, where can we find the most value and what can we do for our bodies to really help us get to a place where we can be more active in general and not leading a life that tends to be very sedentary. And so zone two cardiovascular exercises has been something that has been talked about as a way to figure out, are we able to get to be more active while also not hurting ourselves as much by doing a lot of overexertion when it comes to exercise? And so today we're going to talk about what is zone two exercise. We're going to talk about some of the benefits. We're going to talk about what the research says in terms of if it's better for men or women. And we're going to talk about what works for you in general and how to increase your physical activity. The goal of this podcast is always to get you to a place that you are looking at your health as in your whole health combined. So it's not just the nutrition piece of it, but it's also the pieces like your physical activity and your stress levels and your mental health levels, because all of that together kind of gets you to a place where you can really start to optimize your health and reduce your risk of disease. So that's why we are going to talk about zone two exercise today. Welcome to the Whole Health Empowerment Project podcast. This show is for women over 40 who are trying to create balance in their life when it comes to food, body, self-care, and wellness. You struggle to put yourself first, to maintain consistency when something isn't perfect, or maybe you feel like you don't have enough time or willpower to achieve the goals you desire. I'm your host, Trisha Stefankowitz, registered dietitian, nutritionist. I've worked with women like you achieve their goals by focusing on the next best step, no matter how messy, and meeting you where you are right now. In this show, you'll learn practical information, actionable strategies, and mindset tweaks so that you can feel healthier, more comfortable in your body, and make choices that work for your life. Come join me in failing forward one imperfect step at a time into the journey of health, wellness, and self-care. Welcome to your new project. Zone 2 exercise, also referred to as zone 2 cardiovascular exercise or zone 2 cardio, refers to training your body at a moderate intensity. A moderate intensity where you can have a conversation comfortably. When they talk about zone 2, so much of it and the whole basis behind it is based on where your heart rate zone lies. And it is based on five different zones. So zone 1 would be like equivalent to a warm-up exercise that's not that hard. Zone 2 would be something like a brisk walk or, you know, just a moderate walk where you're able to still have a conversation. You're not completely out of breath. Zone 3 is maybe like a light jog or a fast walk. Zone 4 is when you're running pretty hard and you're not able to carry a conversation. And then zone 5 is this max workout that you can do for a very short period of time. You're probably not going to be able to talk at all. talking about zone two cardiovascular exercise really talks about where your heart rate zone falls when you're exercising. So typically zone one, your heart rate isn't going to be up as much. And at zone five, your heart rate is going to be at like maximum heart rate. So I'm not going to go through here. I think it's hard to do in a podcast to talk about all the different zones. I feel like I will lose you here. So I'm trying to simplify it to do it like that you're doing something, but you're either able to have a conversation or you're not. So at zone one, you're really just kind of warming up. You're able to talk. Zone five being the hardest. And zone two, what we're talking about, being pretty equal to a brisk walk, a brisk or moderate walk. Okay. So your heart rate usually falls between like a 60 to 75% of your maximum heart rate. Okay. So as we're talking about zone two cardiovascular exercise, what typically tends to happen when we're talking about that is the higher your heart rate is, it just means that you're working really, really hard. So you're going to have a higher heart rate in zone five because you're working harder. And you're utilizing more energy because your body's doing whatever it can to keep up with what you're doing. If you're working in a zone one, your heart rate isn't as high and you're not working as hard and you're utilizing a different kind of energy. So a lot of the buzz about zone two exercise and why people really like it, and you will hear a lot about it, is that there is research that shows that there's an improved aerobic capacity. So people that do zone two exercise, which we'll clarify here as doing like a moderate walk, or you can, I would think like, I'm thinking of this in terms of like, you're doing some kind of cardiovascular exercise, whether it's biking or swimming or walking or a light run. You're doing those for about minimum of 30 minutes. And you're not working so hard that you can't talk, that you're kind of just in a place that you could prolong that activity for 30, 60, 90 minutes that you're able to do it. So the benefits have been shown that by doing these exercises, you're able to improve your body's ability to utilize oxygen efficiently. And so overall, this could help increase your endurance and your overall stamina. There's also, and this is where a lot of people really focus on when it comes to zone two cardio, is this enhanced fat utilization. So essentially, you are at a place that you are working a little bit lighter. You're not working as hard. And so your body is able to really go and utilize fat in a much more efficient way than if you are doing something that's really strenuous for your body. So if you're doing like a HIIT class that's really hard and you're doing that for 60 minutes, that essentially your heart rate is so high that you're not able to use oxygen efficiently. And therefore, you use carbohydrates and proteins first, and you're not utilizing fat. So there has been some research that supports, well, the research does support that there is an enhanced fat utilization. And that is why some people really talk about this zone two cardio. Now, there is research, and like all of the research out there, it's a lot of it's based on men. And so even though they've been doing a lot of research on this zone two cardio, much of that research is focused towards men. And so women who end up being like endurance athletes and researchers have seen that perhaps the benefit of zone two cardio isn't as great for women, because women in general, the female body is much more effective at burning fat for fuel, even though most of us probably don't feel that way. And so much more so than men. So that benefit of being able to utilize fat more so may not benefit us as much as it may for men. And so just kind of knowing that, that is one of the things with zone two cardio that might be something that maybe not be as beneficial for you. Although as we talk about this, there are plenty of benefits here too, but that's just kind of one of the caveats. One of the other benefits of it is that there is this sustainable training. So that if you're doing high intensity workouts all the time, you're going to need time to recover, because if you don't, then you're more prone to burnout and to injury. And one of the things that advocates of zone two exercise really like is that it can be sustainable for longer durations. You can do it every day and you can be much more consistent with your body without overstressing it. And so a lot of people really feel like most people aren't doing enough exercise. And so if we can get people to do something that their body likes and that their body can do, and that you can do it consistently because you don't have to keep arresting it, overall, that is where the benefit is that there is going to be more consistency, and then the overall benefit of reducing your risk of diseases because you're doing some kind of physical activity is greater. With this zone two cardio, it also acts as a way that you are having pretty good recovery. And so because you're not overstressing your body is able to repair itself and recover the way that it needs to, and that you are not going to be in this place where you are having the effects or any injuries related to overtraining. Another benefit is the mental clarity and stress reduction that most people get when doing any kind of moderate intensity exercise. And this zone two is considered moderate intensity exercise. We know that if you're doing some kind of exercise, you're going to have reduced stress levels. You are going to have reduced levels of oxidative stress, which is bad. You're going to have better, you're not going to have all these inflammatory responses. So for a lot of times we talk about cortisol. Cortisol is related to stress, and cortisol having it in high amounts can cause different diseases. We know if you are able to minimize those cortisol levels and decrease the amount of stress that you have in your body, and you can do that by doing moderate physical activity, such as the zone two cardiovascular activities, then also that's going to help you reduce your risk of disease burden, especially as you age, while also providing mental clarity and stress reduction. We know that zone two exercise seems to be really great for people who are women, especially that are older. And I think when you're young and you're in your 20s, it's really easy to be able to do some of these HIIT exercises, even in your 30s and even in your 40s. But as you start to get older, you're going to start thinking about exercise in a different way. When you're younger, at least for me, and maybe this is for you too, it's kind of like you're just doing it. You're doing it as a way to beat yourself up, or because you've done something or eaten something that you shouldn't have eaten, and then maybe there's a physical appearance that you're trying to gain. But when you get older, you're just trying to really prevent your body from worsening and to preserve it and to be able to be functional so that you can live your life and live a life where you're able to be active. And so this allows you to be able to continue to get the benefit while also not overtaxing your body. And this could be in the way of your joints, because as women age, we experience a decline in our joint health and we have an increased risk of injury. And so a lot of times if we do things that are too high impact that maybe we would have done when we were younger, there may be more joint issues that are exacerbated. And so these zone two cardiovascular exercises tend to be things that are lowered moderate impact, and they can be things like walking and cycling or swimming, so that it's not too easy, but you're able to do it for a minimum of 30 minutes. And it allows your body to have less stress on the joints. and it allows you to promote overall joint health while also reducing your risk of injury. One of the really important things for women, especially if you are perimenopausal or menopausal, which is probably most of us, is that you're going to get and have an experience where your hormones fluctuate. And if you're able to do some kind of exercise that you can do consistently, then that is going to help support your metabolism. And it's also going to help with the hormonal fluctuations that you may be experiencing. So walking, I think, tends to be something really, a really great component of an exercise regimen, especially if you're perimenopausal, because it can help increase your energy levels, which may be dipping with menopause or perimenopause. It's going to allow your metabolism to feel balanced, and you're not going to be working so hard on your body that you are overstressing it and creating oxidative stress or increasing your cortisol levels, which would further increase the stress that your body is undergoing. There has been evidence to support that there is an improved cardiovascular function by getting better blood flow to your heart, but also it helps with arterial stiffness. And so it just really helps maintain your cardiovascular function. And also it helps with diseases that are associated with heart disease, such as high blood pressure and diabetes. So if you're able to reduce your risk of those, then hopefully that also helps your reduce of cardiovascular disease as well. And we also know that these zone two exercises, so this is walking at a moderate pace, say you're doing it for a minimum of 30 minutes, but you can do it up to 90 minutes, that is going to hopefully help with weight management and body composition without putting excessive strain on your body. So it's something that you can do consistently that over time isn't going to feel too hard. That's not going to feel like you have to recover. And so by doing that, hopefully that will also help manage your weight. And then also, I think one of the more important things here is to know that doing any of these exercises that are moderate is really sustainable. And when it comes to anything related to health, consistency is the key. And so however you need to do that. So if you are able to walk most days of the week or at least 3 days a week, and that provides you with a sustainable approach that you can incorporate into your life without feeling like you're getting too fatigued in between working out or it's causing you burnout. If you are able to adhere to a regular exercise program, then that is where the benefit of all of this is, whether you're doing zone two exercise or not. Now, what are the recommendations if you're not doing any exercise or even if you are doing some light exercise? I would say, first of all, don't overcomplicate it. Let's just simplify this as much as possible. We know that if you are over 40, you need cardiovascular exercise and you also need strength training. And so whatever you can do for 30 minutes. So I would say if you could do some kind of moderate intensity exercise 2 to 3 days a week, in addition to strength training 2 to 3 days a week, that's probably going to be the gold standard because the cardiovascular exercise is going to have all these great benefits that we just talked about. But we also need that strength training component into our lives too, because as we get older, we start to have hormone fluctuations and a decrease in the hormones that help keep our bones nice and healthy. And so what we need to do to combat that with our hormone fluctuations and the disturbances is also to do strength training as well. And the strength training overall increases our metabolic rate, so how many calories we expend at rest. So there's room for both of them. You don't want to do just one. You want to be able to do both of them, that you do a cardiovascular exercise, whether it is a zone two exercise or not. Although I think that probably is the simplest. And then also doing some kind of strength training as well in combination is where you're going to get the most bang for your buck in terms of max benefit. When we're talking about zone two, when we're talking about cardiovascular exercise, We're basically talking about something that you can do for like at least 30 minutes. And we're talking about things like we've previously said, which would be walking, a light run, swimming, biking, but knowing that everybody's body is different in what they can tolerate. And so what may feel like moderate exercise to you may feel hard for somebody else. So like anything, this is very individualized to you and how you feel. And so really trying to figure out what that looks like for you and choose something that is suitable for you. It can be brisk walking, cycling, swimming, even hiking. What you can do that can be in a moderate intensity zone that you can do for a minimum of 30 minutes. In terms of the duration, aim for 30 minutes of continuous activity and gradually work your way up to 60 minutes, and you can do more as well. And so usually you want to do increase the duration as your fitness level improves. So you don't want to start and say 60 minutes is really hard, you're not going to be able to do it. Just start where you can. After my hip replacement, I started doing anything that I could for 30 minutes because I was already doing physical therapy. So I was like, okay, I think I can do 30 minutes. And then gradually, like a month later, I was able to increase it up to 45 minutes. And then my next goal is to increase it up to 60 minutes. So perhaps you're not there yet. Perhaps you're somebody who is doing nothing and you don't think you can do 30 minutes or 60 minutes. I would start at 15 minutes and just do 15 minutes of walking as often as you can do it to really get into a habit that you can be consistent. And if you're not doing anything at all, perhaps you just do the walking for now. And then over time, as your fitness improves, then you can start looking into increasing the duration of the walking to maybe 30 minutes. And then also then exploring if you can do something strength training for 15 or 30 minutes on the other days so that you're able to start at the baseline of getting some of what your body needs. And then as you start to feel stronger and your fitness improves, you can start to maybe add a little bit of time on there. And then this is the big thing is like, how do you measure your progress? So really we're trying to get to a place that you feel like your overall fitness is improving over time. And this is where it can be a little bit tricky because it's like, how do you measure that? Do you measure it by, say you decided that you wanted to walk? Do you decide that you want to walk so many steps per day? Or do you decide that you want to where you want to do so many minutes a day? So I think you have to figure out what your personal preference is. If you are somebody who really relies on some kind of like Apple Watch or some Fitbit or some kind of tracker for your steps, then that's the way that I would go. And research does support that most people are able to get more steps in if they have some kind of gadget or some kind of monitoring device with it. However, if you're somebody who doesn't like to measure that and you'd rather do time period, that's okay too. I know how it gets. Like I know I can get really crazy in terms of steps and I myself don't want to get into that place that I have to get so many steps in a day because then if I don't do it, I get crazy. And so I've kind of pulled myself away from that. And so maybe you're somebody who's like that too, that really just try to do what works for you. And if tracking the amount of time that you do it and how the frequency of how many days per week you do it, if that works better for you, then I would say do that, that there's no right or wrong. You just have to do what is best for you. It's kind of the same, I feel like, with tracking like your calories and tracking macros and people get crazy. I think that that's really hard to do in the long term, but you know, there may be periods where you need to do that. And so maybe that's kind of how you utilize that is you figure out like, okay, if I do this route, this is how many steps. And then if And then maybe after you do that a few times, you don't need to track as much because you know what kind of that stepping count looks like. Because remember, here the goal is for you to become more active and the goal is for you to become less sedentary. And what we know those things will do will help connect you with yourself, will connect you with nature if you decide to go outside and do any physical activity. It's going to help you slow down. It's going to help calm your nervous system, especially if you feel like you're in a place where your nervous system is dysregulated or you feel like you're in fight or flight a lot. It's going to help improve your sleep. It's going to help you have a place that you can manage any of that stress that comes up in your daily life. And hopefully in the long term, it decreases your risk of chronic diseases. And so the goal here again is just to do what you can do in order to have long-term success when it comes to being more active. So I think that you need to find a place that works for you, that helps you embark on your journey to be stronger and healthier overall. Remember that it is essential for you to listen to what is good for your body, what fits into your life, and really start to figure out what it is that works for you and that you can do in the long term, because that's what it's all about. So in conclusion, whether you decide to do zone 2 exercise, which we know offers some benefits, but maybe not as many benefits as it's offering for men, or whether you just decide to start doing some kind of physical activity, no matter where you are, start to think about what can be sustainable for you when it comes to an approach that works for you. And remember that fitness is a journey and that it's not a sprint. And so it's something that you can start to do today, no matter how small it may seem, no matter how imperfect it may seem. But the goal is to be stronger and to be able to do more things and to have longer term success and improvement in your strength. And so however that looks like to you, I encourage you to embark on a journey into fitness so that you can have and be stronger and healthier and do what makes you feel happy. I hope you guys have a great week and I will see you guys back here next week. Thanks for listening. Thanks so much for listening to this episode. If you found value in this podcast, please rate, review, or subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Don't forget to share this episode with your friends. Together, we can take tiny, imperfect steps towards creating the whole health we desire and deserve. Don't forget to grab your freebie. You can find the link in your show notes or over at trishard.com. I'll see you back here next week.